All right, the Daf Shavua is sponsored every week by the Baumzers, David and Paula Baumzer, OMO Construction. We thank them for their sponsorship. And we are doing Daf Ches, or at least we're going to be starting Daf Ches. And last time we finished off a few lines up the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Beis. So as soon as I get the signal, we are going to be ready to start. So we're on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom at the two dots.
One second. My phone shut off all of a sudden.
Yeah.
In the middle of Zoom, I have no idea why. I don't have it. I have 94% membership.
All right, so what do you think? So, okay, I gotta know if the Zoom people have given up hope already at this point. Oh, yeah, Yitz is on? Okay. All right then.
Let me just say something. Guys, I'm sorry, but my phone, I don't know what happened. It just died in the middle of Zoom, even though I have 94% in the battery. If it happens again, then we will send out later on the recorded share. Okay?
Okay, here we go. Three lines up from the bottom, Daf Zayin Amud Beis, because today we're doing Daf Ches. We already thanked the Baumzers for their sponsorship, OMO Construction. And we're at the two dots. Okay, two dots. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak from Eretz Yisrael, Amora from Eretz Yisrael, the Rav Nachman and Amora from Babel. Somehow they met, I guess. My time Elohasi Mar Lebe Kenishta Letziluye. Hey, why weren't you in shul for davening? So Amar Lo Yechilda, as I said, I couldn't get there. Rashi says, because I wasn't feeling well. So Amar Lay, so then he said to him, well, in that case, Lichanfim Lemar Asara Velitzali. So then why didn't you get a minion of guys to come to your house so you could daven Tfilah B'Tzibur? So Amar Lay, so he says to him, Tricholi Milsa. That's such a pain in the neck to do that. So I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull that off. So obviously, these are assuming that it's very important to have your tefillah to be betzibur, but, you know, you're not feeling up to it, so they're not. So now the Gemara introduces an important additional concept that we accept in Shulchan Aruch. It says, well, hold on a minute. You had another strategy. V'leima lei mar l'shelucha detzibura. Why didn't you make arrangements to send word to the Shliach Tzibur, Be'idna dematzli Tzibura, Lasi velodue lemar. Why didn't you make arrangements to have the Chazan signal somebody that was going to tell you when he's getting up to Shmona Esrei, so that what? So that you would know when they're starting Shmona Esrei, so you could synchronize with them. So Amar Lei. So he says to him, Rav Nachman then says back to him, Maikuli hai, what's that all about? Meaning, who cares if I did that? What good is that? Amar Lei, so he said to him, well, you just don't know. You're in Bavel, so you don't know. Amar Lei, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Maidech Siv, we're on Chesam Aleph now in the top, Maidech Siv, Anis Vilasi Lecha Hashem Yisratzon. What does the pasuk mean when it says, when it refers to tefillah be'eis ratzon, tefillah at a propitious time, emasai eis ratzon, when is that, when is such a thing? B'shah asher tzibur mispalalim, at the time that tzibur is mispalalim, presumably even though you're not there and part of the tzibur. So you see, there's such a concept as tefillah bizmana tzibur as a kind of a next tier of preference under actually being in the tzibur. So Rav Nachman never heard about this, but that's Rav Yochanan's idea. Okay, and Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rav Mehachi has a different pasuk saying the same concept. Ko Amar Hashem Beis Ratzon Ani Sicha. Fine. So that's what we accept, that if you're not able to get to a tzibur to be doing the tefillah b'tzibur, at least try to synchronize your tefillah to be at the time of the tzibur. All question, obviously, among the poskim, 24 hours a day, every moment of the day, there's some tzibur rather that's saying a tefillah, so presumably there's some kind of an eis ratzon at any time. So, okay, whatever. So I guess we have to presume that there's some kind of a tzibur that you're specifically associated with that matters to you, that's relevant to you, not just that you have some kind of a website that hosts all the minyanim at all times, so you can always just kind of find some. No, it's something that relates to you, presumably. I don't know. It doesn't really say. It's hard to know about these kinds of things. Different pasuk. Hein kael kabir velo yemas. Pasuk in Iyov. Uksiv para b'shalom nafshi mikrav li ki berabim hayu imadi. So, same concept, that at the time of the tzibur, somehow this pasuk, kein kael kabir velo yemas, refers to a tefillah b'tzibur somehow. A little bit unclear what Iyov was saying that made the Chazal think so. Uksiv, pada b'shalom nafshi, mikrav li, unrelated to this pasuk. Okay, I don't know what the connection is. The Chazal saw a connection. Tanya Nami Yachi, a brisa. These are all Amoraim talking. So there's a brisa that they found that says same concept. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Minayin She'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moeis, B'Tfilasen Shel Rabim. How do you know that Hashem doesn't reject the Tfilas HaRabim? That means the Tfila of the Tzibur. She'ne'emar Hein Ke'el Kabir V'lo Yemas. V'Ksiv Pada B'Shalom Nafshi, Mikrav Li, etc. Okay, in a related way, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe this is the same thing as that, or maybe it's a separate mimer. That's we're saying we're kind of saying, speaking for Hashem here, that kol ha'osek b'torah v'gemilus chasadim u'mispalalim ha'tzibur ma'ale ani alav ki'ilu pida'ani li u'lebonai mibena umos ha'olam. So from the psukim, pada b'shalom nafshi mikrav li ki b'rabim hayu imadi. When you have the rabim involved, or some kind of a thing that's a benefit of the rabim, or that involves the involvement of the rabim, any of those things, in the pursuit of mitzvos, so then that accomplishes all kinds of great things. In particular, like as if to say, it removes Hashem and Am Yisrael from the galus. It brings about Geula. Okay, it hasn't exactly yet, but so far, I mean, it's another push in that direction. Okay, new thing. So first of all, we've been saying that it's important to say your tefillah either b'tzibur or at the time of the tzibur. So now we have the other dimension of davening in the minyan and shul. Amar Reish Lakish. Kol mi sheyesh lo beis ha-knesses be'iro ve'eino nechnas sham l'hispalel. Anybody who has a shul in town but doesn't daven there, nikra shachein ra. We call you a rotten neighbor. Shene'emar, ko amar Hashem, al kol shcheinai harayim, hanogim b'nachla asher inchalti es ami es Yisrael, etc. So, pasuk implies that if you're not doing the proper things that are expected of all neighborhood members, then you're a lousy neighbor. I guess the concept is that tefillah b'tzibur is one of those things that depends upon everybody's cooperation. Everybody has to daven, so everybody is relying on everybody else. So if there's a shul and you don't go, so then you're a rotten neighbor. Like a house minion, a shtiebel, a breakaway minion, or something, because you're not, yeah, I'm not sure if it's saying that. It's hard to know the parameters of this rule over here, because you have, does that count as a separate Beis HaKnesses? In other words, what makes that Beis HaKnesses different from this Beis HaKnesses? So, okay, that's really a bit of a question. We see a little bit more, a little bit as we talk a little bit further on, about possibly there's the large minyan versus the small minyan. The large minyan might have the advantage over the small minyan. You might need to kind of justify a smaller minyan when there is a larger minyan. But in any case, I'm not sure if that would necessarily be offensive to this mimer. Velo'od. And not only are you just a lousy neighbor, velo'od ala shegorim galus lo ulabanav. It also is responsible for galus, for the person, the family. Shenamar hinini no shama yalad masam, hemshech of the pasuk. Yes, Yehuda. Okay. A totally new thought. Well, I guess. Amru Leila Rabbi Yochanan. I don't know. Some people were schmoozing with Rabbi Yochanan one time, and they made drop casually mention of the fact that out in Bavel, you have some zakenim, you have some old people. Ika Sabi. There were old people in Bavel. So Rabbi Yochanan Tama. Rabbi Yochanan was puzzled by this. The Amar, and he said, I don't get how that's possible. After all, in the Shema, we say, Leman yirbu yameichem b'mei v'neichem al ho'adamah. So now, aval b'chutz la'aretz lo. So, okay, as to whether his interpretation of the pasuk is the only interpretation, but at least he's convinced that you read the pasuk as that if you keep the mitzvot, so then you'll have arichus yamim in Eretz Yisrael. That's clearly what the pasuk actually says. But his inference is, but you can't be eligible for arichus yamim in chutz la'aretz. So therefore, he felt that it wasn't. Is it if it's true, then it's true. So he doesn't understand how that could happen. And the solution didn't occur to him either until the next line. So then it says, but given the Amri lay, but when they explained to him that no, don't you know what they have going on over there is that they have shul. So people go to shul. They come early to shul, they stay late at shul. So Amar, oh, so then Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, okay, that explains it. Hayne d'yahani lahu. He had no impression at all what was going on in Bavel, presumably. And so I guess he didn't picture that. So he said, Amar, hayne d'yahani lahu. That's what's going on. That's what works for them to enable them to be eligible to have arichus yamin. Kediyam Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Like Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi made a comment, Lebnei, he says to his children, Kadimu v'chashichu v'aylu lebe kenish, to make sure you get to shul early, kihechi desorchu chaye, so that you'll have arichus yamim, so you'll have a long life. So Rabbi Yochanan presumably knew that, and he accepted, I guess, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's comment about how Arichas Yomer, maybe the two of them got it from the same source earlier. They were contemporaries. And okay, so there you go. So it's giving us kind of chizuk to make sure to get to shul. It'll give us Arichas Yomim as well as the other benefits that we've seen before, and we're going to continue to see. Amar Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanina Maikra. What pasuk implies this? So he says, because the pasuk says, "Mishlei Ashrei Adam Shemei Lishkor Al Dal Sosa Yom Yom Lishmor Mezuzos Pesachai." Pasuk sounds like you're coming to shul regularly. You're coming into my house, my Dal Sosa Yom Yom Mezuzos Pesachai. So that refers to the shul. And Ksiv Basrei, the next pasuk says, "Kimotzi Matzachayim." And Pasuk says, you know, anybody who finds me finds life. So I guess that's a kind of an entitlement to long life. All right, and then related to this, Amar Rav Chisda liolam yikanes adam shnei psachim beveis haknesses. When you go to shul, you should always go to shul two psachim in before you daven. So what does that mean? Two psachim, two doors. The two doorways. So what does that mean? So Gemara says, "Shnei psachim sal kadaitach." How can there be such a rule that insists that you walk through two doorways to walk in? It doesn't make any sense. Or what if the shul doesn't happen to have that? There's one door, and then you're in. Ela'ema, no, it means a different thing. Ela'ema, shir shnei psachim. No, it's saying a different thing. It's saying whether it has to do it two of them, that doesn't matter. It's that you make sure to walk in the shir. The shear of Shnei Psachim. What's a shear of Shnei Psachim? So some take it to mean a distance, and some take it to mean a time, but the concept is very clear that it's saying, don't just walk in and stand at the door. That much is absolutely clear. Don't stand at the door when you walk into shul. It says all the Rishonim in the back say, look, if your Makom Kavua is right at the door, okay, everybody's Makom Kavua is somewhere in the shul. But if it's not your Makom Kavua, you're just walking in because you're catching a davening, or this is not your regular place, walk deep into the shul. Either spend a few seconds, however long it takes, to walk in. What's the share of a doorway? So really, I'll be then, a doorway has to be dal tefachim wide. So two of them would be eight tefachim. For some reason, it doesn't get quoted like that in Shulchan Aruch. It gets quoted as Dalet Amos each, and so two of them is eight Amos. So however long it would take you to walk eight Amos, a few seconds or so. So it shouldn't be that you walk right in and right away you daven. It should be you walk in, wait a few seconds, either to collect your thoughts, to get in the right mood, or at least just not to stand in the door, because it looks like you would want to, you're uncomfortable being there, and you're trying to get out right away. Of course, that's the best case scenario, is that it looks like that. The real worst case scenario is that you actually are trying to get out right away. And so the right thing is not to stay at the door. We all know the reality is that not everybody follows this rule. Okay, two dots. We're a totally different, a complete break now. We quoted a pasuk earlier, Kimotzei Matzachayim, right, to kind of say that when you're in the Beis HaKnesses, you're finding Hashem there, so then that gives you entitlement to life. So now we're going to have a long list of other things about the word matzah, and it all begins with the following pasuk. Al zos, the pasuk says in Tehillim, al zos yispalel kol chasid eilecha le'eis mitzo. The pasuk is describing that when you're davening to Hashem, you're praying for your needs, you're praying for all kinds of things. So this pasuk says that you should be praying for, every chassid prays for mitzo. Every chassid prays for mitzo. So mitzo doesn't itself mean anything. So what is it alluding to? So on Rabbi Chanina le'es mitzo, zo isha. It's referring to le'es mitzo, zo isha. So Rashi is saying that in all of these cases that we're going to be seeing, the point is that you want to try to, you're praying that Hashem should provide what you need at the proper time. So le'es mitzo, zo isha. So you have to pray to be able to find a good spouse. Shenemar, matzah isha, matzah tov. Like the pasuk says, matzah isha, matzah tov. So you see the word matzah as being possibly the what the pasuk is alluding to when it says ki al zos yispalel kol chasid eilecha le'eis mitzo. But Marava, parenthetically, ki nasi vinish itza, in Marava in Eretz Yisrael or wherever, when somebody would get married, Amri le'i, they would say hachi, they would say the following thing: matzah o motzeh. Did you find or did you find? What does that mean? Well, because there are two psukim that refer to a wife. One in a complimentary way, like you're lucky, and one in a disparaging way, like you're unlucky. So, pasuk says, Dichsiv, matzah isha matzah tov, v'yafik ratzen mei Hashem. So that pasuk is saying you're lucky when you get married to the right person. There's a different pasuk in Koheles, Motze ani mar mi maves eso isha asher hi mitzorim, etc. Other pasuk says, you find the wrong person, so then your spouse can kill you. It's worse than death. So, okay, I'm not sure exactly what to do with the whole marava, kinasi vinish itza thing. I think the Chavetz Chaim has a whole discussion about whether this is real or realistic or how you can do it or justify or whatever. Okay, in any case, so we could all, I think, understand intuitively that praying for the right spouse is something to pray for. Rabbi Nassan Amar Le'es Mitzozo Torah. Rabbi Nassan says another idea here, that a thing to pray for is Torah. Shenamar Kimotzei Matzachayim. So that was the relevance from before. Presumably that means that you might not necessarily have seen it that way, that you need to pray to have access to the Torah when you need it, the way Rashi says it. Okay, so that's what it's saying over here, is that even your Torah, maybe even your success in the Torah, or maybe even it means your ability to have access to the Torah information when you need the Torah, either way, that's something to pray for. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Leis Mitzvah Zo Misa. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that Leis Mitzvah can even refer to death. Shenemar Lamus Totzaos. Lamavis Totzaos? Maybe Lamavis Totzaos. So you see the word Totzaos in conjunction with Misa. So what is that all about? Tanya Nami Hachi, the Bryce also kind of says that that's an important thing. Like this Bryce says, there are 903 different ways to die. Shenamar lamus totzaos, and totzaos the gematria is hachihavu, is 903. And incidentally, kasha shebechulan, askara. The worst way to die is askara. Whatever askara is. Rashi says askara is something like strangling or asphyxiation or that kind of a thing. So that's the worst way to die. And the best way to die, nicha shebechula neshika. Best way to die is by neshika, is kiss, a kiss of death. And so, okay. So presumably the point of all of this is that since a person can die in so many different ways, to pray to die peacefully or painlessly or you know, whatever the quality is that you would describe here as the best way to die, so that's something to pray for. Incidentally, askara damya kechizra begvava di imra delechare nashra. So it tells you over here, in case you want to understand what the sensation of dying by askara is. I think I have this sense that what it's describing over here is not what it feels like as much as what the sensation of ripping your soul out in a way where it's having a hard time leaving, which is, I guess, what they're trying to capture over here with the askara image, is it's like trying to rip some kind of a fabric over a rough surface that snags on the fabric as it moves along, like a wool thing, where all the fibers get snagged as you pull it over that other surface. Yikit the Amri, kipiture b'fi veshet. And some others give a different image of the way they would pull one of those hemp ropes with all of the fibers sticking out through some kind of a channel that I guess if you were there and you saw it, you would see what this image is supposed to be describing. Parenthetically, Rashi describes over here some kind of an interesting legend about there are places in the sea where you can't have any metal on your boat when you travel over those areas. I'm not familiar with with that legend. So then something about how that's supposed to be what this thing is referring to, that type of an arrangement where it was a wooden ring that was holding the rope. I don't know. Okay, in any case, what's Nishika like? Nishika, you know what that's like? Damya kemishchal benisa mechelba. It's like trying to pull the hair out of the milk that you just have to touch it and it kind of draws right out with you. And okay, that's the image. Okay, and then continuing with the theme of things to pray for, based on the word mitzah, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Leis mitzozo kvura. Rabbi Yochanan says Leis Mitzvah refers to Kvura, which means, I guess, you want to pray for burial. Amar Rabbi Chanina, my crow, what pasuk would sound like that? Asmechim Elei Gil Yasisu Kimtsu Kaver, also an Iyuv. Also an Iyuv, okay. Pasuk, that sounds like you're happy if Yimtsu Kever, if you find the proper Kvura. Amar Rabba Barab Sheila, Haina the Amri Yinshi. That actually is the folk wisdom of that people would say, you know, the expression, Liba Yenish Rachmi Afilu at Zibula Basraisa. You should always pray, even for the last scoop of dirt in your grave. That itself, even apart from anything else, that itself, I think, captures more than anything what the concept here is, that you should be praying for absolutely everything, even to the last is in a scoop of dirt. It's not about kvura, it's about even about kvura, but okay. Anyway. Marzutra Amar Leis Mitzvah Zebesa Kisei. Marzutra Says Leis Mitzvah refers to Beis HaKiseh. That refers to having an easy access to a bathroom. And Amri bin Maharav, okay, it doesn't quote a pasuk for this. In the back, one of the Mefarshim gives you a pasuk for where that refers to. Amri bin Maharava, Hoda Marzutra Adifa Mekulu. So in bin Maharava, they said, oh, Marzutra's suggestion is the best of all of them. That's totally a thing to pray for, to have easy access to basic Issei. I don't know what to do with this. I mean, Marzutra and Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, they make a comment somewhere here on the side. Maybe Rashi makes a comment about how you didn't really have ground that could have local outhouses for bathrooms, so they had to make it farther away. Yeah, that's what Rashi quotes over here. So I don't know, Marava, are they joking? Are they serious? I don't know exactly what it is. But in the back, I think Rav Elazar Moshe Horowitz makes a comment about how, no, he thinks that that's the best only because it has the best pasuk. Well, of course, the Gemara didn't even quote any pasuk, but he found a pasuk, and his pasuk that he found, he's pleased with, so he says that that was what the Marava, they meant, when it was the best thing to pray for, because the pasuk says the word matzah actually in it. I don't know. But in any case, he's just saying that even something like Beis HaKiseh is something to pray for. Again, the impression that you get is that they're trying to encourage people to feel like all of their needs, from the least that you would imagine to be something prayable or that it was appropriate to pray for, you should be praying for everything. So we're doing a lot of praying. Meaning customizing the tefillah, that's the concept here. All right, and two, okay, on with that. Amar le Rava le Rav and Bar Papa. Rava the Amora says to Rav and Bar Papa, le Malon Mar, can you tell us something, my Hani Malya, Mini Malyasa, the Amrit Mishmei, the Rav Chista? Tell us some nice thing that you have from Rav Chista, that you learned from Rav Chista. But Mili Debe Kanishta, regarding shuls. So Amar le, Achi Amar Rav Chista. So he said to him, okay, here's what Rav Chista said to us. Yaakov. What does the pasuk refer to when it says Hashem loves the Sha'arei Tzion better than all the Mishkanos Yaakov? What does Hashem love? Interestingly, Mishkanos Yaakov refers to the shuls, right? Like Matovu. And what's Sha'arei Tzion? He says Sha'arei Tzion refers to Sha'arim HaMetzuyanim BeHalacha. It's like the Beis Medrash where Halacha specifically is taught. So that's interesting. So that's where Hashem loves that better. The Hainu Di'amar Abchiyah Barami Mishmei Di'ula Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Ein Lo Lekadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam Ha'olah Arba Amas Shel Halacha Bilvad. Like Ula made a comment that after the Beis HaMikdash, that's really Hashem's bias. Now, where does Hashem hang out? In the places, Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, places where people are discussing Halacha. So what is this? This is referring to Beis Medrash generally? Is this a specific kolel, a specific program of learning? Like, what exactly is the intent of this mimer here? So very likely, the intent of this mimer relates a little bit to the end of the previous daf, about how the Torah is really all about living exemplary lives, and halacha is really all about that, presumably. And so the learning that you do, like that's conceptual, or the learning that you do that's lamdus, or the learning that you do that's like historical, or all of that, all of those things may or may not lead to practice, but halacha is all about that. And so I guess you see from here that this mimer is kind of pushing strongly the implementation of the things that you learn. Okay. V'yamar Abaye mereish hava garisna b'go beisa. Abaye made the following comment. He says, originally, and this originally might have been, you know, even up to 2 weeks ago, it's just, you see, when it changed, hava garisna b'go beisa, I used to learn at home, umatzilna b'bei kanishta. Now, maybe his bego beisa doesn't necessarily mean the, at home, at my home, but it might mean in the Beis HaMedrash. But he would learn in the Beis HaMedrash, and then he would go to shul to David. Kiven deshmana laha the yomer Rabbi Chiya Barami mishmei de ula. But once I heard the tradition from Rabbi Chiya Barami quoting ula that miyom shachar beisa migdash, ein lo kodesh baruch hu b'olam hu ala arba shem shal halacha bilvad, So once I heard that maimer that Hashem hangs out in the places where they learn halacha, lo hava mitzilna ela heicha de garista. So then I decided to change my davening to the place where I was learning, because I guess I was learning halacha, and if Hashem is telling me that this is where Hashem likes to hang out, so then what do I have to go to shul for? I'm only going to shul in order to go to play to base Hashem, sort of. And in a related way, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yasi, Afal Gav Dehavelu to Leis Rabbi Kanish to Bitaveria, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yasi in Eretz Yisrael, same kind of a thing. Lo Matzlu Ella, even though they had a lot of shuls in town, but Lo Matzlu Ella, they would only pray, Beni Amudi Echad Gav Garsi, Beni Amudi Echad Gav Garsi. They would daven in the places where they were in the Beis Hamedrash, where they would learn. That's a funny kind of a thing. The poskim are all trying to figure out how to place this principle in the set of all the other rules that relate to going to shul to daven. Were they preferring this even b'yechidus as opposed to b'tzibur? Is this only when they arranged to have a minyan there in the Beis Medrash also, so it had like a shtibel sense, and then that was better? Is it only because these people are Amoraim, and so they did actually spend all their time in halacha, and there's something a unique status for them? All unclear. None of this would give, none of the poskim of nowadays would give you the advice that you should just daven in home in your little spot where you like to learn Mishnah Berurah rather than going to shul and davening at Tfilah B'Tzibur. So you have to just take a look and see how the poskim kind of put this halacha into the set of all the other halachos about preference for davening. Two dots. The Amar Rabbi Chiya Barami Mishmei Deula. Okay, another comment here. Rabbi Chiya Barami Mishmei Deula says the following: Gadol Hananam Yagias Kapo Yoser Mireshamayim. Somehow or other, given the choice, I guess, of whether you should work or not work, but instead you should work on your Yiras Shamayim. It says, well, you should choose to go to work. Why? Because the words literally are that you're better off being nehaneh. You're greater if you're somebody who's able to benefit from your own works and efforts than somebody who has yiras shamayim. Not as if those two are necessarily in conflict, but I presume that the conflict came up. So then that's the way you should choose. De'ilu gabi yirei shamayim k'siv ashrei ish yirei Hashem. How do you know this one is better than the other or greater than the other? Because it says about Yerei Shemayim, you're Ashrei. Whatever Ashrei means, you're lucky. You're lucky if you could be Yerei Hashem. V'yilu gabi nehanem migiyo, but regarding somebody who's actually working and able to live from what he earns, k'siv, yigiyah kapecha, you do your work and you're able to kisochel and eat what you've earned. Ashrecha, you're lucky, v'tovlach, and you're better off. So you see, it's a double compliment. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh, and tovlach le'olam haba. V'lagabi yirei shemayim, v'tovlach lo k'siv bei. But yirei shemayim doesn't say tovlach. Okay, obviously in this group, we would have kind of seen that in any case. All right, two dots. V'yamar Rabbi Chiya Barami Mishmei De'ula Li'olam Yidor Adam B'makom Rabo. Rabbi Chiya Barami gives a following advice from Ula. These are all kind of unrelated. They're connected just by attribution, by who's the one saying this. Li'olam Yidor Adam B'makom Rabo gives you advice. You should always live in the neighborhood where your Rebbe lives. Shashimi ben Nasa bas paro. The concept here being that when you're living near your Rebbe, then simply the Rebbe being around will be an intimidation for you, will keep you on the straight and narrow, and you wouldn't want to do things to disappoint your Rebbe or to that you would be embarrassed about having your Rebbe aware of. And so the presence of your Rebbe is a very good a force to try to keep you on the up and up. And the example that it gives over here is that It describes in the Psukim that Shimi ben Gera dies, and the next parak right away it says Shlomo marries Bas Paro. Presumably, this is a kind of an indictment against Shlomo, and that the almost as if that when he once Shimi ben Gera was no longer alive, then it's like Shlomo felt kind of unconstrained, and so that he was able to slip and marry Bas Paro. Aiva Tanya Al Yidor. Wait a second, but isn't there a braisa that gives the opposite recommendation? Don't live near your rebbe. The Gemara says, well, it depends who you are. Are you still kafif? Are you going to try to do things only that your rebbe would respect? They're not necessarily. Are you kafif still? That means you still subordinated to your rebbe or not? So if you are, so then that's a good strategy. Always hang around your Rebbe so that you're never doing things that you think you would be your Rebbe would be embarrassed by or disappointed by. Okay, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rebbe Menachem Amar Rabami, Ma'idich Siv Yozvei Hashem Yichlu. What does it possibly mean when it says Ozvei Hashem, people who walk away from Hashem, who abandon Hashem, Yichlu will be destroyed. Who are these people who are walking away from Hashem? So he says that refers to Zeh Meniach Sefer Torah V'yotze. People who walk out when the Sefer Torah is sitting there. The Sefer Torah is sitting there and they're reading the Sefer Torah. That's called like Hashem. It's like they're reading the Psukim. That's always kind of symbolizing it's Shem Hashem. And they walk out V'yotze. So that's so it curses the person Yichlu. Rabbi Avo, when he had to go out during the laning, he would nafik ben gavra le gavra. He would wait until between aliyos and then walk out. Because then at least between aliyos, already the Torah is closed and there's nobody reading the psukim. So it's like there's a pause in the action so he could sneak out. By Rav Papa wondered, well, what if it's at a moment when they happen to not be reading any psukim? Bein psuka le psuka mahu. What about bein psuka le psuka? Remember, in that time, they also translated the psukim. So between reading one pasuk to the next pasuk, could you just walk out then, or are you subject to the curse? And the Gemara says, Teku, we don't know. Interestingly, the following story, Rav Sheshes, the Amora Rav Sheshes, Mahadar Ape, Vigaris. Rav Sheshes, well, he would want to learn during the laning. So what did he used to do? So he would turn his face away, Vigaris, and he would learn. Amar, and he would explain, Anan bididan, we're going to do our thing, the inhu bididhu, and they're going to do their thing. What in the world is that all about? So all of the here, Rashi and the other Rishonim in the back, everybody, they all take one of about three different explanations. First of all, what does he mean, we versus them? Who's we and who's them? So generally speaking, we take the view that we means we, Talmidei Chachamim, who spend all of our time in Torah Shebaal Peh, we already, the Torah Shebichsav for us is like Aleph Beis. So to listen to Kriyas HaTorah is not a thing that's as important for us. And compared to what we could be doing, it would be considered to be perhaps even something like Bittul Zman. Because we are spending, so Rav Sheshes didn't want to waste the time listening to the laning. So the inhu, regular people, so then they need this. But we don't need this. But that doesn't justify what he's doing. After all, the mitzvah kriyas haTorah is still a mitzvah to require kriyas haTorah. So some take the view of the following. That if you look at it, it says that so some say it is that sufficient to justify it, and it's unique to only somebody that's called Toraso Umnuso, only somebody who's spending all of their time learning. Others have a different concept, which is, this is specific to Rav Sheshes. The Rav Sheshes was different from the regular group, and that's because Rav Sheshes was blind. Well, if he's blind, Torah Shebichsav is not his field anyway. So Torah Shebaal Peh is what mattered to him. So Rav Sheshes was justified in turning away and listening and doing his own learning in his own head rather than being Oseg in the Torah Shebichsav. And others say kind of a different idea, which is that he would make sure to turn away before the laning started so as to demonstrate that he is not being part of this group for this Torah learning exercise, And so he was kind of detaching prior to the Kriyasa Torah, Maharape first, Vikagaris. But all right, in any case, that's the Rosheshis idea. All right, bottom line of the page. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Yami, Liyomla, Yashli, Madam, Paras, Yosef, Metziba, Shnai, Mikavecha, Targum. Rav Huna, Rav Yudah, Amar Kotz, Rav Yami, that a person should be always kind of preparing the Aliyah, the Parsha, with the Tzibur, Shnai, Mikra, V'yachat Targum. Going over it twice in Mikra, and once in Targum, V'afilu, Ataros, V'divo. And I'm on Chesam, with Beis now in the top line. Even the Pasuk, Ataros, V'divo, and in Masay, I think, Matos. In Parshas Matos, Masay. Ataros v'divon are names of cities. So even that pasuk. So anyway, the point of this rule or suggestion or recommendation or halacha is that you have to always be going over, be what's called Mavrasej, you have to go over the Parsha every week. And afilo ataros v'divon, even such psukim as ataros v'divon. So Rashi says, even ataros v'divon, which has no targum, you still have to do it with targum. Well, what does that mean? If you don't have a targum. Well, the targum is just the words themselves of the pasuk. Tosfos to say it's just not true, and that there is targum. And others say that there is no targum unculus, but there is a different kind of a targum. Either way, the point is that they're pretty emphatic about how they want you to say the recite the psukim, or at least read the psukim of the parsha twice mikra and once targum im hatzibur shekol. And it tells you the reason why he gives you this advice: shekol amashin parshiyosim im hatzibur ma'arichin lo yamu vishnosu, because it carries with it great benefit of arichus yamim. So you should do it. Take advantage of that. Rabibi Bar Abaye, Rabbi Bar Abaye, this Amora, Savar liashlemin leparsha asa de kolashat b'malo yom deKippur. He thought that, you know, he's not going to bother doing this every week, but on Erev Yom Kippur, where he has a lot of time, he thought he'd be able to go over the whole parsha, the whole Torah that time on Erev Yom Kippur, and he was planning on doing such a thing until when I guess he was talking it over with some friends. They told him, "You can't do that." Tana lechia bar Rav midifti ksiv v'inisim es nafsha seichem v'tisha lachodesh ba'erev. They said to him, "When are you going to do this? On Erev Yom Kippur? Don't you know you're busy on Erev Yom Kippur? Because the pasuk says you have to fast on Yom Kippur starting b'tisha lachodesh on the 9th. So the problem is the pasuk is misleading. V'chi b'tisha misanim v'halo b'asar misanim. Yom Kippur is not on the 9th, it's on the 10th. So why does the Chumash write it that way? Ela lomer lach. That's to tell me this principle. Kala ochel v'shosu b'tishii, ma'aler lo v'kosev ki'ilu misanat shiva asiri. So he told him, apparently this was news to Rabbi Bar Abaye, that he told him that, don't you know that from the way the pasuk is written, that you're supposed to be osek in achila v'shtiyah on Erev Yom Kippur, and if you do, you're osek in achila v'shtiyah on Erev Yom Kippur, the Torah treats it like you fasted a double Yom Kippur. Like you fasted on the 9th and the 10th, as Tosfos points out, under orders, meaning as if the Chumash had demanded fasting on the 9th and 10th, and you've complied, even though it was easy to do it in the sense that you've had to eat one of those days. But if you do, so the point being that you don't have any time to do Ma'ariv Sedra for the whole year. That was the only objection he seemed to have found with his plan of doing a whole Parsha on Erev Yom Kippur. In any case, that's what it says here. So then, Rabbi Bar Abaye, I guess, was thinking, all right, fine, so I'm not going to save it all up until Yom Kippur. Maybe I'm just going to find some other time and then just rattle through the whole Torah in advance. Amar Leahu Saba, Tanina Bilvad Shelo Yakdim, Vishelo Yaacher. This particular response is somewhat mysterious, because you find this in a number of places, where a mysterious Zakein, Ahu Saba, tells somebody not to be too early, don't jump the gun. He quotes a Tanina on this. Obviously, it's not a Mishnah. The whole thing doesn't exist in Mishnayos. So, Blavad Shelo Yakdim Shelo Yacher, you don't jump the gun. Don't be too early. Don't be too late. Just try to stay on pace. So that becomes the official policies. You try to stay on pace. When you Ma'aver Sedra, you're supposed to try to be with the Parsha. Im Hatzibur, some of the poskim discuss when does that count, and they generally give you the week from the mincha of the Shabbos before when you start laning the following parsha up until some time. So let's see what it says over here. Until what time? So it says here, Kiryamar lehu Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lebanei, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was telling his family, Ashlimu parsha seichel matzibur. Make sure you follow, make sure you conclude, you complete, you learn your parsha im hatzibur, along with the tzibur, meaning week by week. Shnai mikra, v'yachat targum, double mikra and translation and targum. Incidentally, the Rishonim over here wonder whether echat targum means translate or it means the actual literal targum. So, okay, they like the idea of targum. For some reason, they have a lot of respect for targum. And the specific targum, I guess, that we call targum uncleus, maybe, and that they're not as enthusiastic about translations generally, and the explanations that they give don't make any sense, meaning that the objections that they have may have replied to them under those circumstances, whatever they had, but you have to reevaluate whether their objections are still applicable to our translations. In any case, the Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that, you know, that's an important thing. Keep on track with double mikra v'yachat targum. And not only that, he gave them some other recommendations. So incidentally, on the rule of shnayim mikra v'yachat targum, some of the Rishonim over here wonder how late can you pull this off? Is it supposed to be until by Torah reading? Is it by Seuda? If it's by Seuda, it's a question which Seuda is the one. Because, in any case, so then Rabbi Shua ben Levi is down here giving other advice. And we're going to have to stop, I understand. Okay, so we're about, I don't know, a quarter of the way down the page or so, where Rabbi Shua ben Levi is giving advice about different kinds of practices that he wants his family to be careful about. All right, everybody, Chanukah Sameach.